Okay, we left off yesterday, so we began to develop the machlokes between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam about what a take on Iroi Kli Rishon is. So we know there are differences between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. We're trying to figure out where Iroi fits in the middle. So the Rashbam's main raya was from the Sugya Maseches Pesachim in the 7th Perek about Cham L'Sech Tzeinim. The Gemara said that fundamentally Cham L'Sech Tzeinim is not a real bliyah. Nothing really terrible is happening there. A little klipa here and there between friends, but nothing terrible is really happening because it's fundamentally not really treated like the chum of a kli rishon. So the Rashbam said, if cham l'sech tzeinin is not treated like a kli rishon, so that must mean there's no bishul whatsoever. Even though the Rashbam knew very well that there is bliyas, there's a bliyah at least at the day klipa, but he didn't think that was really baba cheshbon in terms of bishul. And therefore, the Rashbam said that l'mais cham l'sech tzeinin, in terms of Ilchus Bishul, is really nothing. And therefore, it's perfectly permissible, even Lechatchila, says the Rashbam, to take water out of a tea kettle and pour it directly onto the tea leaves, onto the tea bags, and that would be totally mutter, because what you're doing is basically klisheni, nothing more than that. Now again, whether we're okay with klisheni in general, that's part of a Kalei Bishul story and part of a Derabbanan, so those are like technical issues that the Rashbam is not even mitiaches to, but the Rashbam is going with the guidelines, the parameters of the Gemara, that klisheni is mutter, so the Rashbam is saying, so Iroi is basically like a klisheni. But even within the view of the Rashbam, that Iroi is klisheni, you can almost still further break it down and try to analyze and try to pinpoint what is it exactly that makes Iroi like a klisheni? Conceptually, what is it? What is the nekuda? What is the point of Iroi that ultimately categorizes it as a klisheni? So from the simple reading of the Rashbam, from the fact that the Rashbam brought a raya from the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, it would appear that the real emphasis is on Tasagavar. The Rashbam is comparing all of Iroi klisheni to the model of the Gemara about Tasa Govar, Cham L'Sech Tzeinin. And if you just listen to the words, Tasa Govar means that the lower food is overtaking. The lower food is overwhelming the upper food. And it's ultimately, it's the koach of the lower item that is creating the status of klisheni. So when you have the interaction between the hot water coming out of the tea kettle and the cold tea leaves, it's the cold tea bags that's ultimately responsible for that Iroi to be labeled as a klisheni. So if you had to like almost like draw a timeline as to what point does the Iroi become klisheni, so if you think about it, according to the Rashbam, Kozman, the water's inside the tea kettle, you haven't turned it over yet, so obviously that's kli rishon water. Even in transit, according to the Rashbam, it's still technically kli rishon. It hasn't become klisheni until it touches the cold food and begins to be interact with the cold food and begins to be overtaken and overwhelmed by the cold food. So because the Rashbam saw as the raya's best raya's, Mamish absolute best raya the Rashbam could come up with was the Sogover, which even that Rabbeinu Tam didn't think was good raya. But according to the Rashbam, that was a really solid raya. But it's clearly it's the Tasoshabai that's creating the Chalashem of Iroi to become like a klisheni. So if you had a really, really like, Havlovig, show a movie clip, and you would be able to capture every second, every split, every frame along the way, at what point would you be comfortable to say it has become klisheni? You can only make that statement once it hits the bottom. Now again, b'chayr is no nafkamina ladina. Who cares what it is in midstream? Nobody's measuring. Nobody could care less. But if you had your scientist, you had your chemist, and was focusing on midstream, and when ask you, what is it midstream? Even the Rashbam, it's still kli rishon because it hasn't reached the tasagava to overtake it, to overwhelm it, and to transform it to become a cliche. That's the pashas that varm in the Rashbam. So notwithstanding this conceptual understanding of the Rashbam, there is another way to understand how Iroi can become no longer kli rishon and then by default become klisheni. One can understand that it actually happens even in transit. Even from the minute that it leaves the kli rishon, that in and of itself is enough to declare it to become klisheni. That's it. Adkan. You don't need anything to overwhelm it. You don't need anything to overtake it. You don't need anything to overpower it. Just the mere fact that it's not in the kli rishon anymore. By definition, if you're not kli rishon, if you're not in a kli rishon receptacle, then you are by definition called a klisheni. So again, this is a nuance within the quote-unquote shittas HaRashbam. Within the Rashbam, Vasevim Kavaisai, Rashbam probably was not the only one who held this way. Within that understanding, that view of the Rashbam, that Iroi is Kiklisheni, we're still not sure what is it that's Geirem Iroi to be Kiklisheni. Is it the hitting of the bottom, the overtaking of the Tasagova that's cold? Or is it just the exiting of the Klirisha, again, Nafkamina Ladina, in transit itself? Now, we don't know what the Nafkamina would be like, but in transit itself, what would the status be? Why should we subscribe to such an idea? What would lead us to be svara to say such an idea that just the mere exiting of the Kli Rishon creates Klisheni? So this is probably a throwback back to the Tosfos, back to Tosfos in Perek Yud, in the third paragraph of Mem, in third paragraph of Shabbos, about what is it ultimately that creates Kli Rishon? What is it ultimately that creates Klisheni? So Tosfos put a lot of emphasis on the Funus Mechamamos versus the Funus Mechamaros. Mechamamos equals Kli Rishon, Mechamaros equals Klisheni. So I challenge you, and what if you have neither? You have neither Mechamamos nor Mechamaros, which is exactly what you have. When you're in transit, so you don't have the funnest Mechamamos, there are no defunos. On the other hand, you don't have the funnest Mechamaros, but you have no defunos, there's nothing. So it's a funny kind of a question. It's almost very, very similar to like the Dava Gush. Because remember, Dava Gush didn't have the funnest Mechamamos anymore. On the other hand, it didn't have the funnest Mechamaros. So some Rishonim said, they know the funnest Mechamamos, therefore it's a Klisheni. Another said, no, they know the funnest Mechamaros, therefore it's Klirisha. So it's almost a similar kind of idea. What would that take be on the stream of water, in motion, in transit? Can we create a svara to say that it's no longer a Klirisha, just for the mere fact that once it exits the Klirisha? So again, the Rashbam didn't say that. Rabbi Tam Zicha didn't. Rabbi Tam didn't even come to Shia yet. Rabbi Tam is not even Tovah Rabbi Tam yet. But even within the worldview of the Rashbam, but sitting in the Helig of Rashbam, back in the Beis Medrash, back in France in the 1100s, and the Rashbam is saying Shia, and the Rashbam is claiming that Ira is Klisheini. So we're being medayek from Rashbam, from the fact that he put his raya from Tasa Gavar, that he is not saying that the mere exiting of the Kli Rishon creates Klisheini. However, unlike the Rashbam, there are other Rishonim who say it. There are Rishonim who follow the Rashbam's conclusion that Iris ki klisheni v'lav mitamen. There are Rishonim who say it came out the Feirish that Iris ki klisheni even more powerful than the Rashbam, even more than the Rashbam. You don't even have to wait till it hits the bottom to be ki klisheni. Just the mere exiting the Kli Rishon is enough to shaf a din, to create a din of klisheni. Which Rishon is the one who says this? So I didn't put it on the Maamar Kavim. It's actually Rabbeinu Yoina. Quoted by the Ran in the third parak of Masechet Shabbos, in the name of Rabbeinu Yoina, and it happens to also, those who are a little bekiyas, it happens to also appear in Sefer Shari Tshuva as well. In Rabbeinu Yoina's Sefer Shari Tshuva, which is again a Sefer primarily on Tshuva, but the Rabbeinu Yoina has a whole piece of the Sefer about certain things that people are not so careful about. They should try to be a little more mamachbid on. So he talks a lot about Musar, he talks about certain dikdukim in halacha, certain things that the Olam is mezalzel on, and he thinks is a problem. So Rabbeinu Yoina, Punk, in the middle of Shari Tshuva, quotes the Shtichel Torah, and then the Ran quotes this in the third parak of Masechet Shabbos. In order to appreciate Rabbeinu Yoina and understand in what Nekudah he's differentiating from the Rashbam, we have to take a little bit of a step back to something that we spoke about in the past. We mentioned the last couple of days, we've been talking about Bishul. We mentioned the principle, Ein Bishul Ach Bishul. We said the Raya that the Rishonim brought, the whole institution of Ein Bishul Ach Bishul is based on the Mishnah of Kol Habo B'chamim of Shabbos and Sharnus of B'chamim B'Shabbos. If it was ready, put into boiling water from before Shabbos, then Ein Bishul Ach Bishul. You could reheat it, recook it, quote unquote, on Shabbos. Ein Bishul Ach Bishul. So there were many, many Rishonim who maintained that B'med Devam Amurim, that Ein Bishul Ach Bishul, that's by a Dovah Yavish. And they had a right from the Gemara to that extent. Why Manishtana Dovah Yavish? So this is the first portion. That a Dovah Yavish, that if it's a cold piece of chicken, a cold piece of kugel, even though it's cold, it's still cooked. The Bishul hasn't been in this bottle yet. There's a big difference between a raw piece of chicken and a cooked piece of cold chicken. When it comes to liquids, so that line of demarcation becomes much more difficult to draw. When it comes to liquids, so once the soup is ice cold, you wouldn't eat it anymore. Once the tea is ice cold, it's done, it's history, it's finished. So when it comes to liquids, when it cools off, so that's already, one could argue it's this bottle habishul, and now the clock starts off again. Maybe yesh bishul. Excuse me, yesh bishul habishul b'davalach. So if you accept that view, which again, not all Rishonim accept it, if you go down that view, which many Rishonim hold, Rashi may hold that way, the Rosh holds that way, a lot of like the Rishonim hold that way, the yesh bishul habishul b'davalach, what has to happen in order to be mevatel the bishul. Again, this is all within those rishonim who accept this idea. If you deny this idea, then there's nothing to talk about. But within those gedolei rishonim, many rishonim, Shulchan Aruch included, who accept this idea of yesh bishlach bishul davalach, at what point do you say the original bishul is nisbatel? So l'chora, the answer to that question is Yatzel Edesbo. Yatzel Edesbo is always the keveya of bishul. If you reach Yatzel Edesbo, you violated bishul. If you dip beneath Yatzel Edesbo, you didn't violate bishul. That's a gemara. It's a fair shigmar mesech Shabbos. Kach namer shir, that's the shir, whatever the nature of that shir is, of Yatzel Edesbo. So again, what that means in degrees is a big machlokes, 10 or 13, more, a lot of different opinions in contemporary Palestinian. But the bottom line is, alzeh nemer halacha of Yatzel Edesbo. That's the shir bishul. So the chayra, once it dips beneath that point, the game's over. And then yesh bishlach bishul according to the Machmir. So Rabbeinu Yoina has a gevaldik yichidish. Rabbeinu Yoina says that to determine whether the original bishul was nisbatel, it's not only a question of temperature, it's also a question of where is this liquid situated. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, kol zman that the liquid is situated in a kli rishon, and it's still piping hot, it's still above Yatzel Edesbo, then obviously the original bishul has not been nisbatel. But, says Rabbeinu Yoina, if the water, the davar lach, has been taken out of its confines of a kli rishon, even if it's still 212 degrees, that doesn't matter, says Rabbeinu Yoina, because al pidin, once it's ois kli rishon, once it's no longer kli rishon, that's not called nisbashel anymore. The same way that you can only create bishul in a kli rishon, you can only maintain the status of mevushel in a kli rishon as well. Again, like the boshel we gave last week about the lady who spills the hot tea on her husband, and he screams gevalt, and she says, "Don't worry, it's a kli sheni." So that's what Rabbeinu Yoina is saying. That anything that's halachli in a kli sheni, it's cold. It's 212 degrees, and the guy's on the way to the emergency room with the scalded skin. Apidin, it's called apidin. If it's ois kliri, if it's not a klirishon anymore, so that's called not in the status of being mavushal. And if it's ois mavushal, then yesh bishlach habishal. It's a chiddush gadol for Rabbeinu Yoina. So now Rabbeinu Yoina begins to connect the dots. Rabbeinu Yoina says, if all of these things are correct, again, let's get the premises behind Rabbeinu Yoina's bombshell. He's about to throw a big chumra at you. You're about to be reading this in the May Elul. You're reading Shar Tshuva. And expecting him to tell you not to talk Lashon Hara and tell you to be nice to people and to learn better and to daven better. Then he says, and by the way, let me just tell you that you're chayv skila because you're doing the following. So we have to just wait, appreciate where Rabbeinu Yoina is coming from. So first of all, Rabbeinu Yoina is assuming yesh bishlach bishul b'davalach. Number two, Rabbeinu Yoina is assuming that the definition of whether the original bishul was nisbatel is not just a function of temperature, it's a function of halachically as well. And now Rabbeinu Yoina comes in for the punchline. He says, Abba Zoy, if so, if I have a tea kettle and I begin to pour the water out of that tea kettle and it's in midstream right now, hasn't gone anywhere yet, hasn't landed yet. It has simply exited the tea kettle. Zokter ben Yoina, the Rashbam b'Ikaron is right that Iroi is not a kli rishon anymore. Iroi is already a kli sheni, but even more common than the Rashbam. The Rashbam said it only becomes a klisheni when it hits the bottom because of the sagavar. Zakta ben Yoina name, not true. It becomes klisheni water even in transit. The minute that it exits the kli rishon, so they're no longer the fadas b'chamnos, which run for good luck. So the minute that it exits the kli rishon, it is labeled up yaloch. If you stop the clock, if you stop the camera right there and there, stop, hold the phone. Let's analyze the water in motion. In motion, the water is already klisheni water. Okay, and big deal, says Rabbeinu Yoina, what if you're pouring from this tea kettle into a pot of cholent? Why would you be doing such a silly thing? Because your cholent dried out, and you're trying to add a little bit more water to the cholent. So you have this great idea, this phenomenal idea, says Rabbeinu Yoina, I'm going to pour some water from my tea kettle into my cholent pot. What could possibly be wrong? The water's 212 degrees. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, he thinks you may be chayav skila for that. Chayav skila for what? Because the water has lost its status as mavushal. How did that happen? The minute that it exits the kli rishon, it's already nisbatel habishul. Once it's nisbatel habishul, that's the halach equivalent of being cold. Once it's cold, yesh bishlach habishul b'davar lach. And therefore, when you pour from the tea kettle into the pot of chulin, that's an issa gomer min haTorah. Again, assuming that all those connections were true. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is givalchesh. And he says that the oilam doesn't know this. You have to tell them. People are nichshol in this, he says. The Shrei Chavgan, people are nichshol. The Shavah deraisa, people are nichshol in this. Well, so for our purposes, what do you see? Is that one from Rabbeinu Yonah? That he outdid the Rashbam. He held that Iri is kiklisheni, but not because it hits the bottom. If the Rashbam would be right, that it's the cold bottom that creates the status of klisheni, there's no cold bottom here. It's a piping, it's a crock pot. It's the chulin is 212 degrees. Where's the tasar gavar? There's no tasar gavar here. Zokta ben yayne, even in the absence of tasar gavar, you could still say that Iri becomes like a klisheni, because what creates the klisheni status is not the arrival into the cold tea leaves, but rather the mere exiting from the Kli Rishon pot. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's Gevaldi Gechidish. Just as an aside, do we accept this Rabbeinu Yonah? Do we paskel like this Rabbeinu Yonah? Probably not, for the following reason. That, remember we mentioned the other day, that at least Ashkenazim, why do we hold that, what do we hold as Ashkenazim about that fundamental question, so the Ramah has a very, very strange compromise. The Ramah writes, that we Ashkenazim hold that as long as the water, as long as the liquid, as long as the soup is still a little bit warm, doesn't even have to be piping hot, doesn't even have to be boiling hot, doesn't even have to be at a lettuce bowl. As long as it's still a little bit warm, then we're okay. We're not worried with Yesh Bishlach HaBishim B'davalach. So that's why with the Ramah, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ramah says, we're not knowing like this Rabbeinu Yonah. Because we, the Ikaron, hold that ain't Bishalacha Bishabalabalach. That's what Ramosh the Chazanish said. We fundamentally hold against this, all these Rishayim. We all like the Rama, we all like the Rishayim who say that ain't Bishabacha Bishabalabalach. We have a minig, we have a chumrah, we have a zhiros that if the food is mamish ice cold, so then we don't want to put it back on the fire. We wouldn't want to take a pot of cold soup and reheat it, even if you could figure out a way to do it with the Rabban in terms of Achzar or other things. We wouldn't want to do that because Yesh Bishlach HaBishu B'davalach, but we don't really truly hold Yesh Bishlach HaBishu B'davalach. We hold it as a hero, as a chumr, as a minik b'alma. So therefore, for us, says the Rabban, for us to be magdir, vos meint this battle of Bishol for our purposes. How do you define this battle of Bishol? Says the Ramah, even Dippi Bediti Atzeletizbel doesn't do the trick. For us, we only say this battle of Bishol when it's ice cold, it's room temperature, which reached the point that you can't even tell B'chla, you can't discern at all that it was ever cooked. Al Zet Nemar Achumer Midrach, Aminig, whatever, Chumer, whatever you want to call it, not to recook the liquids. So according to us of the Ramah, that we don't even care if it's beneath the Atzel, let us bow. We'll still put it back in the fire. Kal v'chomer, if it's just merely left the Kli Rishon, even though halachically it became a klisheni, that's El Chloch Patli, says the Ramah. Why do I care about that? If you believe like Rabbeinu Yonah, that Yesh Bishlach HaBishul B'davalach B'deraisa, once it's the Spatla Bishul, the game's over, so then Rabbeinu Yonah is free to say that it's Spatla Bishul. Even on your day exiting the Kli Rishon. But with Yidon, we don't care about this, says the Ramon. Therefore, the Mais Ashkenazim are not too concerned about this, Rabbeinu Yonah. There are just tangentially, there may be other problems involved in pouring water from a tea kettle onto a chulent. There may be whole nother problems. Maybe you have Hazara problems. There are problems with the Rabbanon of putting stuff onto the fire in Shabbos with blast, without blast, from one kid there to another. It's a complicated story. You may have to figure out, you got to work hard to figure out how to get around those derabbanans. And there may be ways to do it. But on the love of deraisa, we are not as worried as Rabbeinu Yonah was. So, Kopanim, that was just an aside. But what we extracted from Rabbeinu Yonah is that he's in the same camp as the Rashbam, but he's conceptually different than the Rashbam, because whereas the Rashbam held, it's the Tatsa Gover Shabo that transforms this to be the stream to no longer be in a sense clear shine. We hold that's not what happened. But really transformed the Iri to become the long clear shine is the exiting from the clear shine. The nafkamina is when you're going from a hot clear shine into a vita hot clear shine, according to the Rashbam. So then the Iri never really lost its status of clear shine. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it did, just the mere exiting in transit. And therefore, when it comes back and lands again to the pot, you have a potential deraisa upon the Yesh Bishlach HaBishul. But I call upon him, this is still the Shrine. This is still, we didn't even talk the Shrine. This is still the Shrine from yesterday, that we have the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Yonah on one team, who are holding that Iroi fundamentally, each one, Lamarkadis and Makadis, different reasons, but fundamentally Iroi is not really a Kli Rishon.
What would Rabbeinu Yonah say about Mevashel Kedei Klipa?
Rabbeinu Yonah, would he say it's Mevashel Bakula, or would he say that's Mevashel At what point Rabbeinu Yonah would say that
once it's poured out, it's only Krishani.
I think it's not Mavashal at all. Once it leaves, it's over. Right. I think so. You have to look at the Rabbeinu Yonah again inside. I think Rabbeinu Yonah would never, that whole Kadei Klipa is Rabbeinu Tam's innovation. I don't think Rabbeinu Yonah would mind that. Take a look again. I don't know. But a koponim, the Bar Plukta of the Rashbam was Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam said the whole thing is the whole thing is not true. That just as the Gemara says that it's Mavliya Kadei Klipa, so it's Mavashak Kadei Klipa, we cannot just artificially differentiate between the two. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam held that it's a Shava Derais, and this is Derais, and it take hot water and pour it onto a tea bag. Unlike the Rashbam, who said, Rabbeinu Tam says, Mamshin is a Derais, it's a small amount you're cooking, but that would be a big problem on the level of Derais if it's Mamsh Mavashak Kadei Klipa, identical to being Mavliya Kadei Klipa. So Rabbi say, we addressed the issue yesterday. That Gemara Maseches Pesachim, which was the source for the Rashbam, and Rabbeinu Tam had to be doiche. But up until now, we've been assuming that that Gemara about taking a hot piece of food and putting it into a cold piece of food is fundamentally an Eroi Dikashayla. What conclusion we draw, whether we draw the conclusion that it's Mavashak the Klipo or just Mavashak the Klipo, that's subject to Rashbam Rabbeinu Tam, but the Ikaron, that Gemara is our sugya. But now we're going to change that. Now we're going to show you that there's one opinion in Tosfos in Masechet Zvachim, that big Tosfos in Zvachim. It's on the sixth of the Maamar Kamos. So it's the last paragraph on the next page. It's the last paragraph of that Tosfos, sixth of the Maamar Kamos. But Tosfos quotes another approach to that sugya in Zvachim. The Chamasach Tzein, and they're taking the hot piece of chicken and putting it onto the cold piece of chazir. And up until now, Tosfos was assuming that's an Eroi Sugya. Let's figure out what the Gemara is saying. Now Tosfos backpedals and says, you know what? I don't even think that this is an Eroi Sugya. That Sugya is so radically different, it doesn't have any bearing whatsoever in our discussion. Why? Why not? So comes Tosfos and says as follows. Let's take a look towards the end of that first line, the last paragraph. That which Shmuel said, that's Mavliya, Mavash, whatever you call it, only Kadei Klipa. That's talking about when I take a hot piece of solid food and put it onto another hot piece of solid food. And even if you want to learn the Gemara Pesachim, that's lav dafka, two solid pieces of food, it could theoretically be liquids also. You go nataf meirot v'ala solas, that if I pour some gravy onto some floury kind of stuff, which does this treating almost like lach also. She'oso, that's part of the tzugi there, she'oso rotev, eino kamo iroi, that rotev of Pesachim, I involve, is not our sugya. That is not Iroi. Why? Sharei nifsika. Because the flow has been broken. Says Tosfos, there's a huge difference between a steady, constant flow of hot water, hot gravy, hot liquid, or I turn over something and it's dripping. So there's a little bit of drip, then there's a stop, then there's a drip, there's a stop, there's a drip, there's a stop. And it could be that that Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, which is talking about either that solid, which doesn't have any flow at all, or even liquids, if it's talking about there's a stop and starting, that's a different sugya. About Irui She'ein Koyach Akli Risha Nifsak, but what would the din be if it would be like the Irui that we've been talking about, a mamish pouring hot water onto my tea bag? Says, the Taisas Mevasha Lagamre, it is possible that it is Mavashal totally lock, stock, and barrel, and therefore, not like Rabbeinu Tam said, that it's merely Mavashal Kadei Klipa, no. Taisus ve'imayinu mefarshim, this Yeshua, this phantom, anonymous view in Taisus, the suggestion of Taisus, is that if you have an Iru Shaloi, it's called Iru Shaloi Nifsach HaKiluach, that because the flow has not been interrupted, then that is not the Sugim Sochim. And if it's not the Sugim Sochim, then we're free to say whatever we please. And we have a right to say, guess what? It's Mavasha Bakulai. Why not? Why shouldn't it be Mavasha Bakulai? If it's Lo Nifsach HaKiluach, let's view the drops that are, not the drops, the flow, the liquid that's flowing out continuously as merely being still connected to the liquid that's in the Kli Rishon. It's all the same liquid. It's all the same Cheft. It's all the same entity. And it's all halachically like it's still the Kli Rishon. And we have no source whatsoever to negate that idea. The only source we had to minimize our understanding of Eri and say, the worst it could possibly do is Kedei Klipa, no more than Kedei Klipa. That was because we thought the Gemara Pesach was talking about our case of Eri. Once Tosfos introduces this new possibility, this new potential difference, that Sachem is talking about nifsach kiluach, either because it's salas, which is always nifsach kiluach, or it's liquids, which lemaisa was nifsach kiluach. Once you differentiate between that sugya in Pesachim and what we're talking about, then the sky is the limit. You are free as a bird. Do whatever you want. You want to say klivisha legambi. You want to say bashuk makulo. Say whatever you please. So Tosfos just took the sugya to one level even more chomer than Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos now presented the possibility that Eroi is kikli rishon legamre, not merely vis-a-vis kdei klipa, but it's shayach to say that it's kikli rishon legamre hakol mikogom avashu b'kula. So everybody say, we now have, believe it or not, we now have four possible mahalchim in the Rishonim. We had a blackboard here. We would draw four different possibilities. What's our take on Eroi? So we have one group of Rishonim who are saying Eroi is very, very little in terms of Bishul. We have other Rishonim who are saying Eroi is very, very big in terms of Bishul. But within the groups of Rishonim, we have a breakdown. Each group has two Rishonim, two alternate pshat. So within the first group of Rishonim, we're saying that Eroi is not really a Mevashel. Eroi can't do it. Eroi can't do much in terms of being Mevashel. You have the Rashbam's reason because of Tasar Gavar. And therefore, it's only when it hits the bottom that it loses its kach mivashel. But let's say, in theory, according to Rashbam, let's say you're pouring from a tea kettle and it's in transit, and I stuck I'm not sure how I would do this because the minute that I stick something in, it becomes the sagavar. But again, according to Rashbam, at least theoretically, it's yes, Iru is klisheni, but only once it hits the bottom. And then you have Rabbeinu Yehuda who's saying no. That Eroi is kikli sheni from the minute that it exits the top. So they're similar in the sense they both hold that ultimately on the bottom it's not mavasha, but they differ as to when that transformation occurs. Then you have the second group of Rishonim, which is Rabbeinu Tam, and now the Yesh Mefarshim, we don't know who they are, that anonymous, that the Imayinu Mefarshim and Taisin Zvachim, that both are agreeing that Eroi can create Bishul, but they're arguing in Lemaisa how much Bishul is taking place. Rabbeinu Tam is still mechuv, he's still married to that Gemara Pesachim. He's still meshuv to that Gemara Pesachim. So he's invoking that mashal, that model of Kedei Klipa at Kan V'lo Yaiser. But the Imeinu Mefarshim, the Yesh Mefarshim, the Yisim Zvachim, that differentiated between that model of Pesachim and our discussion is now free to soar to the sky and create a Bishul Kula, which is exactly what Tosfos says. So Tosfos, again, if you go back to that last paragraph of that Tosfos, in the beginning, the Eroi Kiklivishon Legamre, a Mavasha Yaisra Dei Klip, I could say that. It's a Nital Ne'amer. It's a four pshatim in the Rishon.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
My Nafkamina, according to the Yesh Mefarshim, between it drip-dropping versus it going all at once. At the end of the day, it's the same heat being...
No, I'll tell you, it's a big difference. Cold's man that it's still flowing... One could argue that it's still mitzuraf to what's inside the Kli Rishon. That means it's all part of that Kli Rishon water. It's the same cheftza, it's the same chibur. Once you have a drip drop, so then the bottom drop is ois mechubet to the top anymore. So now it has to live on its own merit. It's not a Kli Rishon anymore.
Rabbi,
yeah,
is this a similar concept to like what we talked about by Chaz v'Neir? Kama bottle, but continuous and stopping.
You know, we did see that chiluk there. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the same. I mean, it happens to be the same words, but I think it's a very different concept. There was more of a almost like a very theoretical lomda shishayla. You know, in terms of can we say that the tarobus has already been chal, so to speak? You know, Kozman kama bottle is assuming the tarobus has been chal. Kozman that it's still in a flow. It's hard to say that the clock hasn't stopped yet. So it's almost like b'vasachas. Whereas here, it's more of a function of, I don't know whether I would call it physics or metaphysics, but it's the idea that we're trying to determine whether halachically it's still part of the original chibur or not, vis-a-vis temperature, or quote-unquote quasi-halachic, hashkafic physical temperature, whatever you want to call it. So it's the same words, you're right, but I'm not sure it's the same concept. So everybody say four malachim. Everyone saw this, everyone realized, right? When you're reading the Gemara, it's not reading the Rishonim, everyone realized four malachim and Rishonim, right? Okay, good. So we have one figured this out, okay? So everybody say, let's go a little bit further. And now, analyze a sugi, Maseches Avodah Zarah, that becomes another pivotal part of our discussion. So far we've dealt with three Gemaras that may impact in our discussion. We had the Mishnah and Shabbos Membeis that we quickly realized had really no input because the Mishnah could really be understood either way. We had the Mishnah that the Gemara quoted that Flamitas about Madichin by Klis Ispin and that story, but we saw right away that the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam each were able to read that Mishnah properly. Then we saw the Gemara Maseches Pesachim about the Sagova, which Rashbam saw as his primary source, and Rabbeinu Tam turned it on the tables on him and said, no, forget that's a riot, that it is Kedei Klipa, unlike you. And now we move on to the next Gemara, that's the Gemara in the Maseches Avodah Zarah, and Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah is commenting on these four words, as much four words of the Gemara, seventh of the Gemara, comes, Dorish Rava Nava Arsechu. Rava gave a Dorosha, he told everybody, Nava Arsechu. What does that mean? Arsechu is Lashon Yischim, boiling water, obviously. Nava refers to the gas, to the vats, to the wine or something, where the wine is being stored. And apparently the storage places, these big, huge vats. So wine, I'm not even sure whether these are the wine presses or the vats. I have no idea how to make wine. But it's something that's some receptacle that's holding the wine, and it was trefa wine, it was goyisha wine. So we want to purchase these gitas, we want to purchase these receptacles, these wine presses, whatever they are, from the goyim. And we want to now put our kosher wine in them. We have to kosher them first. So Rava said, no big deal, just boil them up boiling water and call it a day and you can kash them. Nava arsuchu. So great, what did that mean? Boil who, what, where, who's boiling these, what's going on? So Zok Taisvis and Avodah Zarah, Peirush Hag'ilu Hag'itiyos HaGadoylim. Boil up these humongous gases, these tremendous wine presses. Boil them up and they're good. Mikan Aymer Benitam, from here Rabbeinu Tam, Hakizov, Rabbeinu Tam said, the Iroi ki Kli Rishon, that Iroi must be treated like Kli Rishon. Why? With the Yamahocha, the Yedei Iroi, Machle Reyana, Balua Begas. So Zavtu Rabbeinu Tam, if we're kashering through boiling water, what in the world are we doing? What we're taking this gas and putting it into a pot. That's what we're doing. We're picking it up, and obviously it's movable. It's not movable. It's kind of hard to do that. We're picking up this big receptacle and putting it into a giant soup pot. So Rabbeinu Tam says it's chalei tzanus. The alkochay de irik ramahocha. Shere agas gedoylu kveid. She ain't chal mesit l'sach yerim rusachas elagila. He says, who are you joking? Who are you kidding? No one's picking this up and bringing it to shul and putting it into a supah to kasher it. Ella alkochay de irik ram. Obviously, when Rava said nava arsu, we meant not to put it into boiling water, but rather he meant to pour boiling water onto it. So says Rabbeinu Tam, abazoy. How can you do that? How in the world can you kasher by pouring boiling water onto it? It must be that the boiling water must halachically have the status of Kli Rishon. The Hashta Kevin Havik Kli Rishon says Rabbeinu Tam, if it works for the kasher, the vat, the kasher, these gas, which presumably requires a real bona fide kasher of Kli Rishon, if it works for the gas, it's going to work for our trade for silverware as well. Everyone understand Rabbeinu Tam just said? Rabbeinu Tam said, if you have a kli that became treif, became chometznik, to being in a kli rishon, let's say I have a pot of soup, I've been cooking chicken and noodle soup in it the entire year, and now I want to make a kosher l'Pesach. I have a milchik spoon that I stuck into my fleishik pot, and now, Gavalt, I want to kasha that spoon. Those are examples of belias of Kli Rishon's disaster. Kol Davar, She'evoi ve'esh, Tevi ve'esh, I have to replicate, I have to do Hagol. Everybody knows, the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah, if it came through a Kli Rishon, it has to be kasha through Hagol of Kli Rishon. So after Avodah Zarah, no big deal. You don't have to bother putting it inside another pot. Just pour boiling water onto it. You can hani kem, shenesu de Kli Rishon, sagu ba'gol ade riroi. So here's what Rabbeinu Tam said. Who here digested what Rabbeinu Tam said? Ben Tam said, I want to make life easy for your mothers. They want to kasha their noodle pots. No big deal. Just pour boiling water on. No need to put it into a big pot. Just pour boiling water. After all, irisky risha. How many penalty markers down in this Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi said? Who has kashas against this Rabbeinu Tam? This Rabbeinu Tam is gevaldic, is meridic, is fantastic. If you would have held like which shita, Rabbi said? Which shita could have just pulled? What?
Rabbeinu Tam.
If you would have held like, who thinks if you would have held like Rabbeinu Tam, you could tell like Rabbeinu Tam?
You know, like the Yesh Mefarshim.
You have to like the Yesh Mefarshim. You know why? According to Rabbeinu Tam, this is a farce. This is not an acceptable hechsher. According to Rabbeinu Tam proper, the Rabbeinu Tam that we know and love, the Rabbeinu Tam we're used to the last 2 days, the Rabbeinu Tam says, Iri is not really Mevashel. Iri is not really Mevliya. All Iri does is Kedei Klipa. Rabbeinu Tam took the Gemara and Pesachim seriously. All Rabbeinu Tam did was extend Belias to Bishel. So, but Be'ikaron, we're working with the same parameters of Kedei Klipa. Nothing more than Kedei Klipa happens in the world if you have Rabbeinu Tam. If I have a pot that received a Belia, I cooked chicken soup, chicken noodle soup in it all year long. How deep did the Belia go into the pot, Rabbi Say? How deep does the Belia go, Derech Lirishayim? It permeates the entire thickness of the walls of the pot. Much more than Kedei Klipa, the pot can be this thick. The Belia, the Kedei Klipa is this thick. How can they Klipa? Klipa is a garnish. Klipa is just a peel. Klipa is a hundredth of an inch. So how in the world could Rabbi Adam say that a Kli that was Belia Bekulai, it was belaya on the fire. It was a klivishin mamish that chometz soaked through and through the walls, the thickness of the pot. I have tarfas bas mechalav through and through the thickness of the pot. I'm just going to pour some ceremonious water on it and say hokus pokus echvin machshas in the kli because iris ke klivishan. Bazam to Benetam can never have said such a thing. If the yesh beforshim in the tazans vachem would have said such a thing, that echvin mekabel. But for Rabbeinu Tam, how can Rabbeinu Tam say such a thing? So what's the answer, Rabbeinu Tam? The answer is, it would appear, if he is Daiti, that there were actually two different versions of Rabbeinu Tam flying around in the Rishonim. And again, I'm not a Tosfos historian. My guess would be that Rabbeinu Tam himself may have changed his mind. They may not have been sure about this. That this Ve'imayinu Mefarshim of Tosfos is not just some mysterious Balatos, some Talmud of the Rishonim and Balatos 100 years later, sitting around and philosophizing about what we could have said if we would have wanted to. But I am not so convinced that this is not Rabbeinu Tam himself contemplating. That if you look at some Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Tam as saying that Iri is on Mevashim Beklipa, but other Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Tam as saying it's Mevashim Bekulai. And one of those who showed him is this Tosfos. This Tosfos of Avodah Zarah, there's no question in my mind that this Tosfos of Avodah Zarah that is quoting Rabbeinu Tam is saying you can even kasher al yedei Iroi. This version, this presentation of Rabbeinu Tam is not the Rabbeinu Tam that we're familiar with. This is not Shita number 3. This is Shita number 4. This is the Imayinu Mefarshim and Tosfos Zvachim. If you hold like pure Rabbeinu Tam, or at least I don't even know what the pure Rabbeinu Tam is. I don't even know what Rabbeinu Tam actually held at this point. But if you go with what we thought until 5 minutes ago, what sheet is Rabbeinu Tam? This would be an impossible statement. This cannot possibly be a true statement. There's no way you can ever sanction doing Iroi on a Kli that has a Bliya Bekulai. So this sheet that appears in Tosfos of Avodah Zarah that's being called Rabbeinu Tam by the Baalei HaTosfos, this is what we call in our chart the Tosfos Maseches Zvachim, the Yesh Mefarshim Tosfos Zvachim. Rabbeinu Tam pure would never say such a thing. Yeah.
Why Rabbeinu Tam and Yesh Mefarshim? Why did we set up that they were necessarily arguing with each other? Wasn't it just that the Yesh Mefarshim said it was a different case in Pesachim? I mean, why couldn't it be Rabbeinu Tam
No, because Rabbeinu Tam wrote a raya against the Rashbam from the Gemara Pesachim. Rabbeinu Tam says, let me prove to you that Iriz Mevashel B'Kedei Klipa, because just as it's Bavliya B'Kedei Klipa, so too it's Mevashel B'Kedei Klipa. According to the Imayinu Mefarshim, the Tosfos Zvach, the Yesh Mefarshim, that's a terrible raya. Because the Gemara in Pesachim is talking about when it's Nivsach HaKiluach, so Tak Onim Mevashlim of Lech Deklipa, whereas we, the Yesh Mefarshim, want to say it's Mevashlim Kula. So the fact that Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in the Tosfos in Zvachim as a separate shita. The Baal HaTosafot and Zvachim clearly were holding that Rabbeinu Tam was shita number three, whereas the Baal HaTosafot and Masechet Avodah Zarah are viewing Rabbeinu Tam as, in effect, shita number four. So we still have four shitas on the board, but just not sure where to put the pure Rabbeinu Tam shita in. Again, there are different Baal HaTosafot, Baal HaTosafot and Zvachim, written by different Baal HaTosafot and Masechet Avodah Zarah. But everyone thought that when you saw the Taisim and Avodah Zarah, who here realized? Hands up if you realize that. When the Taisim and Avodah Zarah quoted Rabbeinu Tam, that this cannot be what we know as Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. It's impossible. But Rabbeinu said there's another problem with this Taisim. There's another kind of a problem or a challenge with this Taisim and Avodah Zarah. Even if we want to stretch it, we want to go out on a limb and say this is really the Yesh Mefarshim's and this is the newfangled Rabbeinu Tam. Does anyone have any other potential hesitations about kashrut with Iruy? Any other problems with kashrut with Iruy? Could we have another obstacle to kashrut with Iruy, even if the Yesh Mefarshim are right? So the Ramban, I didn't put it on the Memkos, but the Ramban and Masechet Avodah Zarah, on this sugya and I endowed it. The Ramban throws a penalty marker down on this play. He says, even in your wildest dreams, you want to tell me that Iris Kiklirish and Mamish and Kozmash on Nisrach looks with Asha Bakulo through and through, it still fails for Kashrut. You know why? Zakt Ramban, Kashrut works with its own rules. Says the Ramban, there are three words that govern all of Kashrut: Kibolo, Kach, Polto. That's all there is. There ain't no more. Kibolo kach polto means how it went in, that's how it goes out. Nothing more and nothing less. And therefore, says the Rabban, if the Belia happened in a real Kli Rishon, the real McCoy, the real Emes of Kli Rishon, when you kasher it, you have to mimic the Belia. Kibolo kach polto. Even if you believe in the halachic world that Iri is Kli Rishon, and even if you believe in the Yesh Mefarshim and Taisin Zavachim and Vavashim Bekulot, kashering doesn't depend on the halachic universe. It depends on absolute, complete, total replica of what the Belia was. And if the Belia was derech a real Kli Rishon, some hocus pocus kashering to Iroi, even if Apidin, Iroi is like, Levish is not going to do the trick. Because that's a felt, that's a chisaron, that's is lacking, it's lacking Kabbalah Kachpolto. The Hester Ramban. It's Kavaldik Yosefin Ramban. Can anyone take the Ramban to the next level now? If the Ramban is right, the Kabbalah Kachpolto requires an absolute mimicking replica. It's got to be a carbon copy of what the Belia was, nothing less. Not an iota less, even if that iota less is halachically identical. It's got to be physically the same. The Ramban and the Ran and Avodah Zarah talk about the following Shaila. The Gemara says in Psachim and Chavtas, when you kash, you have to use Kli Rishon. Let me ask you a question. What would you think about the following? I'm cooking on the fire my chicken and noodle soup all year long. And I stick my spoon in, and it gets a kishmak, the fire's on, blazing, and I get a gewaldic blia of the noodles, the chabetz gomer, the rice, and it's a crack. It's mamish permeating the entire essence of the spoon. A month later, kum ter Pesach, I want to cash in that spoon. So what do? I fill up a pot of water, which is a boil. I turn off the fire. And a second layer, I drop that spoon in. Is that a good hagol or not? Zach the Gemara in Tzachim, the Hilchas of the Kli Rishon. You can cash him at the Kli Rishon. Would anybody say this is Nish Kli Rishon? Of course it's a Kli Rishon. Bring me a raya from a Mishnah, this is still a Kli Rishon. Shabbos Taf Membeis. Ilfas Vekaderish, Ervim Rusachin, Leitim Masechin Tavlin. It's a Kli Rishon. So Zachim Ban and Ran, could I cash her in such a way? What's the answer? No. You know why Zachim Ban and Ran? Because Kli Rishon it is, but Kabbalah Kachpolto is nisht. Because in order to kashering to work, it has to be an absolute mimic carbon copy of what the original belief was. It's not enough to hide behind the halacha that, yeah, this is also a klirisha. No. If the bli was with the nesh, as the plate has to be with the nesh as well. And who disagrees with that, Rabbi say? Just Rabbi Natan disagrees. Rabbi Natan would disagree with that also. Rabbi Natan would say that there is no Kabbalah Kachpoto does not mean you have to have a carbon copy. Kabbalah Kachpoto means you have to have a halachic category. That's all you need. Kabbalah Kachpoto was set on halachic categories. If the Bli was Klirishon, plate has got to be, plate is the Hagol has got to be Klirishon. The Bli was Libun, plate is going to be Libun, whatever the halachic categories are. Within the halachic categories, does the kashrut have to be identical? Al zeh lo nemar the din of Kabbalah Kachpoto. Kabbalah Kachpoto was Chazal's reading of the Pesukim. Kol dovah sheyava be'esh tavi be'esh v'teher ach v'neh. State in the Pesuk, whatever had a bliya through water is kashrut through water. Whatever has a bliya through esh is kashrut through esh. That's the mokah for the klal Kabbalah Kachpoto. Chazal didn't make it up. It's mamash right in front of the Pesukim. Pashas ma'am. That's Kabbalah Kachpoto. So Machlekes Rebbe Tam and the Ramban, what are the parameters of that statement? Kabbalah Kachpoto, a din in halachic categories, klirishon requires klirishon, klisheni maspik klisheni, irid. But do I say no? Even if you're within the same halachic category, it's got to be a carbon copy of what happened. So Rebbe Tam, by accepting irid as a mechanism of kasher for something that had a bliya through a klirishon, Rabbi Natamat gives up, Tyson in the Avedazar says, Hani Kam Shinesa de Klirishon Sagal Bagod de Iroi. Rabbi Natamat is a double Chiddush. He's Chiddush number one that he's disagreeing with what we thought Rabbi Natamat said. He's buying into the Tyson Tzvachim. That's Chiddush number one, that it's not the Klippah, the Klippah would have failed us. So that's Chiddush number one from Rabbi Natamat. And Chiddush number two, Rabbi Natamat is against this Ramban and Ran. Rabbi Natamat is sanctioning, kashering, as long as it's within the halakha categories, even if it's not an absolute mimicking the original process. Just as an aside, who's going to tell me, even if Rabbi Natan is right, that there's no need for Hilchos Kashering to mimic perfectly, even if that's true, as long as you got the same basic category, you're good to go, could somebody still object to that shah that I told you about, that spoon that had a bliya with the noodle soup? Could somebody, irrespective of Rabbi Natan, could somebody tell me why you may have a red flag in that kind of kashering? I stuck my spoon in to the chicken noodle soup when the fire's on, and I want kasher next week when the fire's off. Could somebody raise an objection, not for Rabbi Natan's reasons, and I'm sorry, not for Ramban's reasons. Could somebody raise another possible objection? Yeah, Asha.
Because Al-Gabe H versus in Al-Gabe H are two different halakha categories.
You mean it could be, depending on what? Give me one word. Depending on what you think about what? Asha's being Miramis to what?
Yerushalmi.
Depending what you think about that Yerushalmi from days gone by. Remember that Yerushalmi from a long, long time ago? It seems like it was forever ago, just about like last week. If you believe that the Yerushalmi said that there's a difference in halacha between klirishon of gabi eish versus shlo gabi eish. If you interpreted the Rishonim like the Ramban, the Ram, like those Rishonim who said, like the Shach, that ein lecha bishul gomor el gabi eish, you need mamish fire. Anything that's not the fire on is not bishul deraisa. So then you're holding on the level of the araisa. There's a difference between a klirishon of gabi eish and shlo gabi eish. It's a different category. But if you think Yerushalmi didn't even say that, like remember the Aruch, Magen Avraham, well, even if the Yerushalmi said it, maybe it was outvoted by the Bava, like the Ran. Remember all those, right? Bringing back to man, how much Bichas and Kukul in their minds, right? Kalei Abishal rise. Chulun Daf Kuvdalet. We haven't even opened up Gemara Chulun in the last week. Chulun Kuvdalet, right? All those who wanted to argue against either the Yerushalmi never said it, or the Yerushalmi said it's not accepted because it's against the Bavli. If you really believe that Klirishon, Shelo Agabe Eish, and Agabe Eish are identical, that would help you theoretically in terms of kashering. So it's interesting. Those who like had very, very lenient version of Klirishon, Shelo Agabe Eish, those who were not so into that being their Isa, are not going to sanction that for kashering. Whereas those who are big believers of the of the strength of a klivisha gabi aish shor gabi aish would be machmirim, now could potentially be more mekil. Unless the Ramban and the Rana, right, you have to mimic perfectly. Halacha l'maaseh, we do not kasher with klivisha and shor gabi aish. When we kasher, you have to be careful. Let's say if you want to kasher in silverware that I believe is a gabi aish, you have to make sure the fire is on when you kasher. Because if you turn off that fire, you're asking for trouble. Number one, according to the holy Rishalmi Mahalach, you may have just disqualified your kasher when you turn off the fire. And number two, according to Ramban and the Ran, even if the Rishalmi is not right, you still disqualified your kasher if you didn't mimic it perfectly. So the mice, you have to keep the fire on when you kasher. So back to that story, basically. So again, so we have Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, we have two versions of Rabbeinu Tam said, and Tosis in Avodah Zarah is being Uriah for, in a sense, Shittah number four, the newfangled Rabbeinu Tam, we call the Yeshua Farshim and Tosis Zvachim, from the Sugi about Nava Arsuchu, about the Machsha the Gas. But obviously, some Rishonim have to disagree. Obviously, other Rishonim have to have a different view of what's going on in this Gas story. Because first and foremost, the Rashbam can never buy this, or the Yaini can never buy this. How could these Rishonim ever in a million years sanction Kashu with Iroi? That's not even in a ballpark to Kashu with Iroi. That's like taking a pot and Kashu with a cliche. That's ridiculous. So comes to us in the end of the seventh Ramah Kaimis about Rashbam Chilek or Rabbeinu Tam, the aim of the Iru Kiklishen Hilagamre. Iru is like Klishen, garnish and garnish. Had the Mash Mahacha, Gas Sagila be Iru, Shani Yay Nesech, the Tashmisha Ayadate Sainain. Says Taisus, this is the worst Gemara to bring a Rai from. This Gemara is irrelevant to our entire discussion. Because this is kashering something that never really had a bliya to heat anyway. The whole bliya was on a day tzaynin. So why are you kashering it for? It's a day tzaynin. Do I hear kavish kibuhushal possibly? Do I hear this is some kind of a chumra for yayin nesech possibly? I don't know why I'm kashering it, but I tell you why I'm not kashering. I'm not kashering because of real bliyas of heat. And therefore, the game's over, says the Rashbam. You cannot extrapolate from this gemara to anything whatsoever. So at the end of the day, we have Machlekes, Rashbam, and Rabbeinu Tam as to what's going on in the Sugya of Avodah Zarah. Is this Gemara the grandiose model of kashering? And this teaches us the world about Iru B'Mavashi B'Kulo, and this is the Raya against the Ramban. Or like the Rashbam who said, this Gemara is totally and completely meaningless because this Gemara is talking about its own very, very localized din, which is, has no applications outside of B'Liz of Tzayim. So everybody says, how many Gemaras do we have now that are supposedly impacting on our sugya? We have Mishnah and Shabbos Membeis, the Gemara and Shabbos Taflamites. We have the sugya in Sachmai and Heran Vav. Now we have the sugya in Avodah Zarah, the Fayin Dalid. And now we have another Gemara. And that's the Gemara in Pesach and Taflamit Zayin and Membeis, where Tosfos and Zvachim picks off where we left off with them. And they invoke a sugya in Maseches Pesach and Taflamit Zayin. I didn't put it on the Mamakom Shmasei, I put it on the Tosfos. I assumed everyone looked it up in Pesachim. Was a complicated sugya about challah, about the creation of a type of dough that willow will not be chayavis in challah. You know, the Torah says, in order to be chayav in challah, b'chol chavir lechem oretz, rishis ar seichem, there are dinim of iso, dinim of lechem, machlokes and rishayim, you need both, one, a lot of Torah is floating around about our first challah. But the Gemara discusses the particular issue that's called b'is and chalita. The Gemara talks about the following. I have flour, comes from Chamesh Bin Adogun, and it's mixed together with boiling water. So that process per se probably didn't create challah yet. Then I go ahead and I bake it. Will that subsequent process be chayv and challah not? So it's machlag is atanoim. So the Samtanaim will say that I don't care what you did before. I don't care whether you boiled the flour in water, whether you poured boiling water, you put the flour in the water, I don't care what happened before. Once you subsequently bake it, the game is over and that becomes challah from that point on. And that's called lechem l'chol din yatar from that point on. You make a moitzi, ben, shwash, ben, everything that works. It's mamash lechem gomer. That's a wee
question. Power.
What?
Question. Isn't that our bagels?
Yes, that are our bagels. That's exactly what our bagels are. So we paskin l'alocha like those tanoim that such a setup is chayv and challah, and it doesn't really interest me what happened beforehand because once it's subsequently baked, the game's over. So that is correct. Those are our bagels. That's why we make a motzi and we wash a bench. We don't have any qualms with our bagels. That's right. That is 100% correct. But not everyone agreed. And there was some tanoim in there who said no, that once that flour underwent a bishul process, the subsequent baking will not be mechayvin chal. Again, we don't accept that, but there was such a tana that held that way. In the middle of that sugya, the Gemara says that if you accept that tana that we don't accept, according to that view, it doesn't make a difference whether you take the flour and pour the flour into the pot of water, or whether you pour the boiling water from the pot onto the flour. Either way is going to be the same. We pasken that everything's chayv anyway, but within the Tanna says it's potter, both will be potter. So that's the Farish Gemara. So if you take a look at the eighth of the Ma'amar Kaimis, it's the end of the third line. Amamanda potter michala bekemachet gabi mugloshim, mugloshim is boiling water. The Tanna that says that if you pour flour onto the boiling water, it's potter, we should blav lechemu. Since it was kneaded together with boiling water. Potanami, that tana, it's clear for the Gemara Pesach, but Feirish and Pesach Lam Zayin, according to that tana that we reject by Halacha, that tana would say, Potanami, Mugloshin, Sheshachon, Agabi Kevach. The same would be true if you pour the boiling water onto the flour. Even though I have Kemach sitting in a bowl, and I'm taking water out of my tea kettle, out of my urn, and pouring it onto the Kemach, you see from that Gemara that that's called Nisbash al-Kemach. How is that Nisbash al-Kemach? The Kemach was never in the pot. Zabin Findor, you see from Yezus Taisus that pouring water from a Klevishan onto a raw food, onto the raw Kemach, onto the raw flour, that's called Nisbash al-Kemach. So Taisus says, well, that's Gevaldik, that's wonderful, right? According to Rashbam, that's terrible. Must be a Rai against Rashbam. Must be a Ben Tam's right. So Tosfos says, wait a second. Wait a second, says Tosfos. Even if Rabbeinu Tam is right, it's not going to solve the world's problems. Because let's not forget, Tosfos and Zevachim had which version of Rabbeinu Tam? Tosfos and Zevachim were not Tosfos and Avodah Zarah. Tosfos and Zevachim were assuming Rabbeinu Tam was Shita number 3. It's not Mevashim Bekul, it's not Mevashim Neklipa. So says Tosfos, how is the bishul de klipa going to pot from challah? If you would have held this mevasha makula, then I would have said the whole flour is this mevasha, so potter is challah. But if Rabbeinu Tam's version is right, heichi potter in the mevasha de klipa lishmol de b'tasar gav, the Kamlan can say. So Taisa says, "Why p'nikash?" Taisa says, "Wait a second. We rejected the Rashbam outright based on this Gemara Pesachim, and we thought Rabbeinu Tam is gevaldik, is riding high." Lo pashrut says Taisa, even Rabbeinu Tam is up the creek in this Gemara, because even according to Rabbeinu Tam, the most that the Iri can do is mevashchik the klipa, which is not enough to pot from challah. So Taisa says, Bama shows the hands, and what do you do according to Rabbeinu Tam? So we'll have to wait off for Mishnah until tomorrow. But Taisa is going to try to solve this dilemma of the Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin, at least according to Rabbeinu Tam. But we can't leave the Rashbam out in the dark. We're going to have to outdo Taisa. We're going to have to come up with some kind of solution that's going to solve it according to Rashbam also. But even Taisa themselves are not so safid and not so happy with this Gemara Pesachim. According to Rashbam, the Rashbam's totally rejected, says Taisa. And even according to Rabbeinu Tam, scratching your head and figuring out how's Rabbeinu Tam going to read this Gemara. So we've got a lot more work to do on the challah story. And then Rabbi Isai, after we finish this Sugya and Pesachim, then we'll come to the realization that all the Sugyas that we've been learning, the two Sugyas and Shabbos, the Sugyas and Pesachim, the Sugyas and Pesachim, both Sugyas and Pesachim, are all very, very important. They're all critical, but none of them really, really were right, brought to any direction. And everything is going to go back to Zvachim, where Tosfos is riding on the Gemara in Zvachim, and we have to come briskus a little bit tomorrow. And those who didn't get a chance to try to get ahead in that Gemara in Zvachim, try to figure out, because that Gemara in Zvachim, Tzadi Hei, is going to become the pivotal Gemara. Everything else was kind of tangential. It's nice. We talked a little Chashabas, a little Chaskashi, a little Fresh Chal, a little Belias. We're talking nice stuff. It's all nice and all very important and maybe completely irrelevant to our discussion because no one really brought a Raya Brewer. Nothing's irrelevant. It's all relevant. It's just no one brought a Raya Brewer from any of the Gemaras. But everything's going to be make a break. Sugya is going to be Zvachim Dov Tzadi Hei Medbeis. I'll mention tomorrow. We'll do that. So tomorrow we're back on the 11 o'clock slot, right? The Tuesday slot. Okay, good. Met Shem, one, stay well. Stay good. Met Shem, finish up the Ma'amar Kaimis. We'll see everybody. Met Shem tomorrow. Have a good day.
Rabbi, thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Be well, guys. Be well.